You're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. Now, we are not your typical how to do SEO podcast. No, we are not. With the help of our guests, we cover those all important topics around career development, personal growth, and mental health for those working in the SEO industry. You got to be working on your own internal algorithm. Like what we did there. So if you like the sound of our podcast and you think this is a bit of me, shall we crack on with this week's episode?
We've been taught that success comes from hustle, doing more, pushing harder, keeping up. If that's what you've been doing and something still feels off, then this conversation for you is for you. It's all about hustle versus alignment and how to stop chasing a version of success that looks right on paper but does not feel right to live. Plus, I'm going to go through three steps, a simple three-step audit to help you realign your version of success. Now, before we dive into the episode, there are so many ways that you can support us. One of them is to give us a one-off donation to help us with the costs of producing this podcast. Another one is to reach out on socials. Come and talk to us. What have you enjoyed? What would you love us to record? Because remember, this podcast is for you. Now, let's listen to Hustle versus Alignment. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tasmin.
How are you?
Well, I'm very good because we are in person. We are recording face to face. That's a bit weird to say.
I mean, it is, literally.
But we're in the same space.
I know. It's, you know what, Sarah, when you got this studio, we had big plans about how we were going to record so much more together here, but it's not worked out. So when it has, it feels like a real treat.
It's a definite real treat. And do you know what? There is something different recording remotely compared to like being in person. Yeah. So, so I'm good. 100%. I'm good. So what are we talking about today? What have you got for us?
We're talking about big world stuff, Sarah.
Big world stuff.
The world's gone nuts, in case you hadn't noticed or anyone listening hadn't noticed. And, you know, I say it jokingly, but it feels quite heavy right now. Politics is crazy. World of tech is working, you know, moving faster than ever. And it's really having an impact on individual lives. It's having an impact on how we're showing up online. One of the things that people have been talking more and more about, and I have an episode coming up with Erin from WTS, all about trust deficit, and that's within leadership, AI, the impact of it on creativity. There's more stress. Did you know we're in April, and April is Stress Awareness Month?
I didn't.
Oh, got another episode on that coming up.
You're teasing left, right and centre.
It's beginning to feel like a menu. And on our specials board, we have.
What is the special today?
Another thing that I've noticed much, much more now is there are so many coaches that are calling themselves burnout coaches.
Specifically burnout coach.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I started coaching when it was the compartments were far broader. You know, you're a life coach or an executive coach or a parenting coach. This world of super niching is doing my head in, if I'm really honest. But specifically burnout coaches. And what I'm noticing more and more is that people are doing all of the right things to get to success. They're studying, they're upskilling, they're working hard, they're being productive. But when they get to a certain place, whether it's a new job or pivoting or success in their home life, they're not feeling the way they thought they were going to feel. They're doing all the things that are right on paper, but quietly questioning, is this actually the life I want? So this isn't so much about overworking. And we did that episode on burnout saying, you know, it's either if you're doing too much or you're not resting enough or you're misaligned. And I feel like there's a lot more misalignment than ever.
I mean, you've touched on some very big, important points. And yes, the world does feel like it's on fire right now. And I mean,
words. I'm never stuck for words, but like I don't know what to say on that matter, but I can definitely see how with everything that's going on in the world around us, it just goes to show how important it is to be aligned with what we are doing and how we're showing up for ourselves. And I reckon a lot of our listeners can resonate with working towards something, doing the courses, doing the work, showing up, whatever that is. And when they get to that goalpost, or when they get to achieving that, it doesn't feel like it should.
Yeah.
And I think that's really easy, especially in the day and age of social media, when comparison culture is so vast, it's so big, and you get influenced by people around you. So not only are you getting influenced by your family, you're getting influenced by friends, but also you're getting influenced by people around you as well, and on social media. And you can see how that would end up if you're not asking yourself the questions of what do I want and how do I want to feel, and you're just running towards something because other people are. Of course, when you get there, it's going to be like, ugh, well, I'm here. Why does it not feel a certain way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in some ways, there have been some veils that have been lifted. For example, leadership does not really equate to statesmanship anymore.
Okay.
You're certainly not looking at leadership saying, oh, guide me morally, because that's just not happening. I think the world of commercialism has gone nuts as well. And I saw two clips recently that really, really hit home. One was, how much propaganda did it take us for this to be normalized? And they showed clips of fast fashion, you know, all sorts of substance abuses, so on and so forth. And then it said, and for this to become, you know, for that to be normalized, and then for this to be unnormalized. And then it went through images of families having wholesome time together, like people meditating, spirituality, faith, just simple living, mending things. Like, that's not normal. People don't do that anymore. And that really hit home. And then the other thing that hit home was, we've been told that, you know, start work at 18 or 21 or, you know, that sort of age. Have a family, ask somebody else to look after your family, work really, really hard, pay your taxes, so that when you get to 68, 69, the next 10, 15, however many years that you live, you can enjoy those years.
Right
at the end, when, you know, maybe physically your body is saying, actually, you know what, I'm done. I'm having a break. And then I was watching The Madison. Have you watched The Madison?
No.
Oh, you've got to watch it.
I'm starting to think that you're some sort of affiliate scheme.
And there's a line in that where he's talking to his brother about a vacation that he went on with his wife. And they're quite, you know, they're loaded. And he said that you saw it on their faces, because the people that were in that place were older than them, but, you know, very affluent. That what he saw was, they're thinking, we've worked all of our lives to get to a moment, arrived and realized that the moment had passed.
Flipping out, that's big. Yeah. And I want to say so much on what you've said there, because why is it a done thing, or why is it the norm that you are told that you've got to work, work, work. You've got to slog and basically not put your mental health or your wellness or your health first. It's about what you can make, what you can produce, what you can do, what stamp you can make on the world. And then when you get to that point when you retire, and the retirement age is forever going up, isn't it? But when you get to that point and you finally get to rest and relax, that's when your body shuts down, and that's when the illnesses and everything comes out. Because, I mean, you can see this throughout. So how many times at Christmas do you get poorly? Or how many times when you go on annual leave or have a break over Easter? We've just had Easter, right? How many times do you get poorly? Because you've taken a moment for your body and you to rest and reset, and your body's been like, oh, actually, you've been pushing me a bit too hard, and now I know. And it's so important that I know it's hard, and we live, getting a bit deep here, we live in a capitalist society, and unfortunately we need money for certain things. There is the hierarchy, someone's hierarchy of needs, where you need food, water, shelter.
Yeah, I'm having a difficult time with Maslow right now, so let's not go.
But I'm just saying, like, yeah. you need to generate money, or you need a way of having shelter, making sure that you've got somewhere warm, you've got food, water, access to all these things. But actually, there's lots of ways that you can do that, and you've got to be curious and ask, what do I want from life?
Yeah, and I think the problem, so just to answer one of the things that you said, we need these things. You know what, the lifestyle that I see people living now is not the lifestyle I saw people living in the 70s and 80s.
Interesting.
We went from need to want, and suddenly some of our wants have become our needs. I need the next phone. I need this. I need that. Whereas, you know what? If you really look at what you have, do you need it or do you want it? And it's about really being honest with yourself. But I think one of the things that, the other thing you said, you know, I need to put my health first and well-being first. It's almost a bit like the diet culture versus a lifestyle change.
It is.
So the diet culture will say, oh, you need to have that and this and that and the other, and, you know, scrap this bit and reduce that bit. And it becomes really hard because you're trying to figure all of this stuff out. But if you understand what a good lifestyle looks like, then you know that these are the components. Actually, let's fill half my plate with vegetables, and then I'll have quarter for my protein and quarter for my carb, and I'm walk more, spend more time with family, all of that. So it's about understanding what is that recipe for you. And the issue is, which I'm seeing more and more with people that I'm working with, when they're trying to figure out what do they want, they're looking very much at the external rather than looking at the internal. So many people do not know what their version of success looks like.
And you're so true, isn't it? Because it's a weird question. It's not a weird question. It's an important question, but you don't often get asked, what do you want? How do you want to feel? Like, what do you want for yourself? And something that I noticed today, and I think it's really easy for our listeners to do, is be curious when you're doing certain things. So be curious at work. Be curious when you're doing certain elements of your role or your day-to-day, your personal life as well. So today, I am feeling really energized because we've had a whole day together. Basically, Tasmin, you've energized me. But what I mean is, so this was an impromptu meetup. So, of course, we always record podcast episodes, but because you're in Milton Keynes and I'm in Worcester, it's normally remote. But you happen to be in Birmingham and I'm in Worcester. The studio's in Worcester, and you were like, can we make it happen? Can we make it? can we do it in person? And we figured out our diaries and we made it work. And we met for breakfast and we had that time together to have really good conversations, catch up, put the worlds to rights, enjoy food and enjoy the time together. We then have walked to the studio and now we're recording content. And even this morning when me and Benny the dog came to meet you from the train station, I was like, this is what I want more of. This is what makes me feel energized and happy and what I want to do more of. So next time you're going about whatever you're doing, be curious and think about the emotions. How is it making you feel? Is it draining you or is it filling your cup? Because those are the signs that you can be like, okay, I need more of this. Like, yeah.
So let's put all of that in a little bit of a framework, and I'm glad you spoke about feelings. One of the reasons I feel that we are in the situation that we are in is we have over-intellectualized approaching success and gaining success. We have focused really a lot on what does the body do? What am I doing? What am I executing? How productive am I?
Yes.
When we have wanted to level up that, we have then delved into mindset. You see this everywhere. Mindset, mindset, mindset. And I'm for it. So how am I thinking? How am I speaking to myself? What's my inner chatter saying? What's the strategy here? What's the planning here? And that's basically saying, I'm going to use my body and I'm going to use my mind. But you're more than your body and your mind. You have a heart that feels. You have a soul. But we've left that out. Somehow in modern society, we've decided that the way forward is to leave big chunks of ourselves out of the equation. And then we do all of the body work and the strategy work and the thinking stuff, and we get somewhere and then we wonder, why don't I feel good? But you never asked yourself, how do you want to feel?
Very true.
So why are you now wondering why you're not feeling good? So it's really important to understand, how do I want to feel and who do I want to be?
There's a story that I can share about my journey that relates to this. And of course, there is an element of you have to experience life and you have to do certain things to understand what you like and what you don't like. But I remember I was working for a local marketing agency and I really enjoyed working there. I enjoyed the family kind of feel when it's like a localized smaller agency. Loved working with the different clients and I felt like I was valued. And then I had a friend who got a job at Holland and Barrett and she suggested that I should go and join and work at Holland and Barrett. And I completely understood it because at the time she was like, it'd be really good to have a brand like Holland and Barrett on your CV and you'll be part of the SEO team and it'll be really good. And what was really interesting was like there was lots of elements to the job of Holland and Barrett that I enjoyed working and I've made some good friends from it and it was a good learning experience. But I learned that just because working for a brand or working for someone is like known in the industry, like Holland and Barrett, is important for some people, it wasn't important for me. And one of the reasons I left was because there was certain elements that I didn't like about a big brand, because you don't get that closeness. It doesn't have that family feel. Yes, in your select team, maybe, but there was like hierarchy BS going on sometimes. And yeah, like obviously with a big business, it's very different, isn't it? Working to a smaller business. And I very much appreciate the time that I had at Holland and Barrett and I loved working there. Loved not everything. But you see what I'm saying? There were some bits I did and some bits I didn't. But now I know from those experiences the next time an opportunity like that comes up, I know that that's not for me, and that's okay. It might be for someone else because that's what they want to do, but I know, no, that's not my story. That's not, that doesn't make me feel how I want to feel.
Yeah. And there'll be, and that might change depending on which level you're at. So I've worked with people who are managing teams for smaller organizations, more, you know, more akin to startups. And the issue they find is that their scope of work is so wide, because in a smaller organization, that's what's going to happen. Whereas the bigger the organization, the narrower the scope it's going to be, because everyone's got their role to fulfill.
They're vertical.
Yeah, and that works for people. But, you know, going with this brand and personal brand, although I'm, you know, going on a slight tangent, when we did the live podcast about personal brand, afterwards, Steve from Systrix said to me, everyone seems to be confusing personal brand with digital personal brand. How am I showing up online? And I feel that that's also then feeding into the mistrust that we're seeing online, because when you want to build your digital personal brand, you're building it for visibility.
True.
But when you are building your brand based on who you want to be and what characteristics you want to have, you're building trust.
Well, I feel like that's a very poignant point to leave part one on, Tasmin. Yes,
absolutely. And afterwards, what we'll do is, you said, you know, we don't ask ourselves, what do we want? I'm going to take you through three steps where you can start exploring what that aligned life looks like for you. So anybody who wants to go through this, come back with in part two with something to write with and something to write on. So Sarah, today's all about alignment. Are you feeling aligned?
That's a big question, isn't it?
Well, you will by the end.
Do I feel aligned? Do you know what? It's a journey.
It is.
Isn't it?
For sure.
And I am more aligned now than I was a few years ago. I'm still not 100% aligned, and I know that. Mm. But if I look back and reflect, yes, I've got some more aligning to do, but Sarah right now is more aligned than Sarah a few years ago.
And I think it's important to acknowledge that as people change, as people grow, what they want will be different. There was a time where my idea of success was working and living in central London.
Oh.
I know. I could see myself off.
That's so interesting that you say that, because obviously, we've known each other 3-4 years.
Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, we're coming up to 5 years.
Well, it's going
to
be our birthday soon.
Have we
passed our podcast birthday? Did somebody forget to celebrate? Oh, crikey, O'Reilly.
Yeah, because we started in March, didn't we? So we missed
Lordy.
That. But, like, we've known each other for so long now. And when you said, my idea of success would be having a job and living in London, that surprises me.
Oh, but you see, my dad had a shop on Carnaby Street.
Okay.
And some of my fondest memories were when I was about 6 years old, we would go to work. I'd go to work with him on Saturdays, and it would always be the same. We'd start off in a greasy calf having scrambled eggs on toast. Then he would take me to a very fine chocolatier, and I would get a quarter of raspberry creams and violet creams, and I'd spend the day at the shop. And then on the way home, we'd go past Piccadilly Circus. And I think for me, it was partly nostalgia. But now there's no way, absolutely no way. You know, I love my life in Milton Keynes. I love being near the lake. So as people change, their idea of success will change. So it's a good idea to keep reflecting. You know, set yourself like maybe every quarter, at least once a year, think about. But anyway, let's talk about how we do it, because often we say, oh, this is a good thing to do, but don't actually go through the how, and I think that's wrong. In the show notes, there is a free success alignment audit. Go and download it. It'll talk you through all of what I'm about to say in much, much more detail. But basically, there are three steps I'm going to take you through, and they'll all help you understand what alignment looks like for you. And the step number one is clarity.
Just as a note, people, pen and paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pen and paper. If you're playing along with the game today, gut feel answers, right? Don't overthink. Nobody's going to hold you to it if you put down something crazy. Just do what you want, but gut feel answers. Okay.
Step one.
Sarah, are you doing this?
I haven't got pen and paper.
I will give you some. There you go. Right there.
Thank you.
It be noted that Sarah now has a piece of paper and a pen in hand.
Okay. And I will share what I put down.
Okay.
Depending on what I put down. I suppose.
So this is all about clarity. You know, asking yourself, when was the last time you reflected? Because the world is moving really fast. Ask yourself, how much of your life is based on shoulds or what you actually want? How much of your life is based on what others want it to be? So peers, social media, parents. And one thing I wanted to say is that quite often when we say, oh, I want this in my, you know, this is what I want for my success. And we have a tendency of thinking big. I want £1 million. I want a mansion. I want a sports car. But bizarrely, when you actually think about it, the things that are going to give you that joy, that feeling that you're looking for, are often the really small things. Mm. You know, I want to spend more time with family. I want to be out in nature more. So I'm going to ask you the question in a minute. But think about what's happening to your heart and soul, not just your mind and your body. So tip number one is pause. And before you try and change everything, ask, what does success mean to me? Not what looks good, not what you should want. And what I want you to do, and this is the exercise bit, Sarah.
Okay.
Cast your mind over the last few months. What really made you happy?
Okay.
And as you're writing this down, and as everyone else is writing it down at home, sometimes a really good clue is if an opportunity has landed on your lap, come really easily to you, there's a clue in that.
Mm. Can I share mine?
Go on.
So something that I've always known about myself is I'm a people person. People pleaser, trying to get a better handle on being a people pleaser. But I love being surrounded by people. I love working with people. I love collaborating, which is why whenever I've had a podcast, I always do it with someone else. So something that's made me feel really, really happy is I am establishing and nurturing a podcasting community. And what was super lovely is it already exists online. So there is a chat that happens and it's very active. People are showing up there and we meet online once a month. I mean, in April, because it's so popular, I suppose people love chatting podcasts. We're doing two. But what was really lovely was we did an in-person meetup and that happened in March, I think the end of March, and it was just lovely. Like, it was lovely getting all podcasters together in real life to talk not only about podcasting, but to I don't know, just like connect and chat and help each other out and build those bonds, like the bond that me and you have got. And that is so important. As the digital world and technology and AI, sorry, had to mention it, is growing so rapidly, humans will always need interaction. Humans will always need community. So that is one thing that made me feel happy.
Okay. Hold on to that thought. That's part of your alignment success recipe equation, however you want to frame it.
I like the recipe.
Okay. All right. So this is about clarity. You've got a key component that is important to you. The next step is, how aligned is life? Are your daily actions reflecting what matters most? Because you can have a full calendar, you can be productive, you can tick everything off, but still feel like, life's a bit meh, you know? And when you know what you want, and this is another thing I'm seeing, sometimes when people know what they want, they try to change everything. And then they get overwhelmed and then they don't do anything at all. So it's about knowing what you want, which is step one, clarity, and then taking small steps. And one small step that you can take is looking at your to-do list. So often our to-do list can feel quite samey because it's just become default mode and we don't challenge it. So what, again, cast your mind back last couple of months. What's regularly on your to-do list which you think, actually, I don't need to do this?
Very true. Very true. And that to-do list is forever growing as well, isn't it? Yeah. So it's very important that we actually, because we never review the to-do list, do we? We just add.
Yeah.
Especially when we've like crossed something off. So that's important.
Yeah. So based on what you come up with, that, you know, this thing I could actually remove, make small changes in your to-do list. You don't need to throw everything away, but maybe you adjust how you work. Maybe it's about setting a different boundary. Maybe you are going to finish for like 5:30 or 6 rather than bleeding into the evening. Maybe you're not going to check your emails post a certain time because work's just become too accessible. And maybe that thing that you really want, maybe you prioritize that 1% more in your to-do list.
Yeah, because actually, if I'm reflecting, there is definitely stuff that I put in my calendar or my to-do list that is more aligned with the stuff that makes me feel good. But sadly, because the other stuff, and I think some of it is related to money making as well, especially from a freelance perspective, because like that's the bit that I struggle with, is easily making money from something. But I know that things take time and you've got to pivot and you've got to trust yourself. So what I need to get better at is the stuff that's on my priority and to-do list, and it's more aligned, that shouldn't be the first thing to go if I'm running out of time.
Yeah. And this is all very personal. You know, everybody has to decide what's right for them. But what I do want to stress is that alignment is usually built in small, honest decisions, not like big, dramatic ones. Don't put more pressure on yourself. Don't add more stress when we're trying to relieve the stress. So the third thing is, so we've talked about being clear on what you want. We've talked about taking aligned action towards it. And the third one is sustainability. And you touched on that earlier. Is your version of success energizing you, or is it quietly draining? So start noticing what's giving you energy. Where is it going away? Really start understanding. I think you spoke to Fleur about this, about recognizing what that energy level is in your body. We've become a population where we're more in tune with the charge in our battery on our phone,
yes,
than we are in our own, which is really, really sad.
Can I ask a quick question? Uh-huh. So you said quietly draining us. Mm-hmm. Why quietly?
Because it's those those little punctures
that is like hard, that is easy to miss, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if something happens that it's like you have a big fight and you think, oh, I hated that, you know that it's happened. But when it's somebody who, it could be a friend who rings you up and you think, oh, it's my friend. But they are perhaps more negative than positive. Perhaps they are more aligned to blaming other people. And on the surface of it, it's my good friend that is, ringing me up, always there for me, but quietly they're draining your energy.
And I can think about work as well, mm-hmm. work tasks,
yeah.
things that you're working towards. So there is definitely, procrastination. So on that to-do list, something that is quietly draining me is the stuff that I'm procrastinating and not doing. And I often push it right to the last minute. So then it's stress. So I suppose it's also being mindful about that in the workplace, isn't it? Of like, okay, what is it that's draining you? Is it the more analytical data side of things? Is it when you have to present something? So I suppose it's also about relating it to your work activities.
And another thing that may feature, because my question on this one is, what is it that is quietly draining you? Another thing is sometimes we make work too hard. We find the most complex way to solve a solution. Or one of my clients is, is in the process of launching a podcast and getting really stressed about it, saying, oh, but this and this. And it was reminding her that it's your podcast. You can choose when you launch it. It doesn't have to be this week. No one's got a gun to your head. You choose. But we make things really hard for ourselves. Or, you know, if we want to do a piece of work, we don't ask, you know, what is the result of this work? Why am I doing it? How much work time do you want me to spend on it? Because sometimes that piece of work is just to figure out what's the lay of the land, and then deciding actually yes, spend a bit more time on it. But we just overcomplicate things. So question, what is it that could be quietly draining your energy? Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything?
Yes. There's definitely, yes, I can think of stuff that's on that to-do list of mine.
Okay.
That I'm procrastinating and I'm pushing. And yeah, it's really interesting that, like, when I'm excited about a piece of work, I don't push it, and I'm excited to, like, jump on that.
Yeah.
I suppose another element as well is sometimes something can feel overwhelming, you don't know how to start something, but that's a different kettle of fish altogether. Yeah. But yeah,
I think for me, especially when I'm planning these podcasts, I feel like I have to answer every single question that every single person might possibly want, and I can't, and that really drains me. But on times when we have just spontaneously recorded something, that we've also created great work, and it has felt more natural, more aligned, less draining. So for me, that work-wise, that's an issue. And at home, I feel like it's my job to make sure everyone is fed properly. And then I remind myself that the youngest person in our family who doesn't have someone, like, it's like 30, they can look after themselves, and nobody has asked me to do it. So I think perceived pressure is also something. So, if you want any more questions, so there's a few things in the show notes that will really help. There's the episode on Success Trap.
Okay.
That I've put in. There's the audit, and I think, yeah, I think those two would be really, really helpful for anyone who wants to explore this.
You also mentioned the episode I did with Flair. So
yeah, let's link that one. And I think the burnout one, let's link those.
Treasure trove in that show notes.
But I think, you know, to wrap it up, you know, one of the biggest traps is that people are focusing too much on how to get somewhere without really asking themselves, what is it that they actually want? So you can be efficient, but you might be chasing the wrong thing. So make sure you know what the right thing is for you, and it'll be different for you compared to everyone else.
I suppose my big takeaway from this is investment. Right. So what do I mean by investment? So when you are working towards something, depending on what you're working towards as well, it takes time, it takes effort. And yeah, like it takes guts to get to where you want to go. So be kind to yourself. And before you even embark on that journey, you need to be just taking a step back and just being curious, and before you dive in, ask yourself, is this right for me?
Okay, I'm going to disagree with most of what Sarah just said there.
Oh.
You said it takes time, it takes effort. And what was the third thing you said about, you know, it takes guts? It can take a minute. Just spend 1 minute today and ask yourself, what do I want?
Sorry, so what I meant was, like, so before you work towards that goal, that is the bit that could take some time. What doesn't take the time is, like, before you go on that journey, just asking yourself the question. Because, yeah, like, you're respecting yourself a bit more, aren't you? Yeah. Because before you're putting that time in to reach that, you're asking yourself the questions, is this worth my investment? Is this worth my time to do before you do it?
Yeah. So, you know, if we said, okay, how can we make this as simple as possible? You spend a minute asking yourself, what is it I want to feel today? What do I want more of today? What do I want less of today? And if you make one step in the right direction, just one teeny tiny step, then by the time you go to bed, you will be living more of your successful life than you were when you woke up.
Very, very true.
And then if you repeat it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, then every single day you will be becoming more and more successful, more and more aligned.
And what's more important?
Yeah.
Fabulous episode, Tasmin.
Thank you very much.
Right, we're wrapping up.
We are.
So, yes, make sure you check out the show notes. If you've enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy what me and Tasmin are doing, a reminder of how you can support us. You can give us a one-off donation, because obviously there are costs involved in running a podcast, and we'd be very appreciative if you could help and put a one-off donation towards that. Thank you to everyone who has done that already. And help us get this podcast out there. We get lovely feedback. We get people saying that it's been really helpful. They've taken something away. So next time you're listening to an episode and you know someone who would really benefit from it, find the link wherever you're listening and send it to them.
Wonderful.
Yes, right. Shall we say goodbye and take care of yourselves until next time?
Goodbye, take care of yourselves until next time.